Blog Talk Radio.
We are back. We are back. Let me stop. That's the hangover, man. People don't watch the hangover, you know. That's me. But it's TP time. We are back in the building. Welcome to the Sunday Morning Brunch. We got y'all locked and loaded, man. A lot of stuff to jump into. We haven't been here in a while. Right in the thick of things in the middle of summer. And we got a lot of stuff to throw around this building. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
Ow. Welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you, people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City chance for Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark the Moses and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes here at Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with this chef. Of course, I got my co-host, my sidekick, my brother, however you want to look at it, Tommy B. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. But before we get started, can we take a moment of silence for Chris Smith, former Mississippi State football player that was shot and killed Friday night? He played at Mississippi State from 2009 to 2013. All right. Let's get this started, Ty. We've got a lot to get into.
For sure. And Sports City, I like to try and get into a lot of our sport topics, like things that, you know, it popped off whether throughout the weekend or throughout the week. And this week it wasn't too busy, so we had to kind of go along with everything that was going on. But we still had notable news that was coming through, and I try to jam-pack the brunch as our best see fit. But more than likely, we get to jump into the controversial stuff. And the controversial topics that we get to jump into are the heavy hitters. And I literally mean heavy hitters on all aspects of the form of that situation. First and foremost, if you're under a rock, and I won't even pick on people in saying that, I guess I'll save the best for last. So the first one first is the Brock Lesnar situation. Now, I'm not going to lie. Before the fight that he had with Mark Hunt, I was like, if he ends up getting Hunt to the ground, he's going to win the fight. I was saying that because I don't know how much damage he'll bring to Mark Hunt, but if Mark Hunt landed one of those heavy haymakers, lands a bomb, he could take care of business. Because I literally look at Brock Lesnar as a guy that doesn't want to, you know, go to war. You know what I'm saying? And you can see in the fight that it was a situation he was trying to stay away from that bomb or a damaging punch that could end up hurting him, which all fighters don't want to get knocked out. You know, that's the ultimate. Don't nobody want to get knocked out in the form. But he basically got Hunt to the canvas every round. He got him to the ground. I don't even want to say ground to pound because he didn't pound Mark Hunt. If people feel like he pounded him, then so be it. But he didn't pound him. But I'm not even going to lie. Brock Lesnar was in great condition. He was in great condition, as he always is. But it was something about Brock that he looked better than usual. Not saying that I could notably see what was going on, things of that nature. Well, of course, as in all sports, all venues, all networks, all things of that nature, we have another situation that arises. And Brock is caught in the anti-doping situation. So, you have an uproar of the situation around Mark Hunt, stating that cheaters shouldn't get anything, saying that he should get half of his purse, and he went to a situation saying that I should get his full purse. Well, looking at Brock Lesnar, looking at a lot of the fighters that are in MMA and UFC, they don't really receive handsome amounts of money. Brock was pulling in over $1 million for this fight, in which, what, Mark Hunt loses this fight and not, I guess we get to look at this as a form of cheating. I'm trying my best not to throw Lesnar under the bus because I know Lesnar's trying to make Acclaim back, even though he's 39 years old. I don't know how long he's going to be in the game or the fighting game or WWE game, however you look at it. I don't really think that he'll be in either respective venue for too long, but he was supposed to be on top of the pile, and now this is a setback on how I look at this. So I'll throw this one to Tommy, see how you feel about this. Is Mark Hunt right in his claim on how he sees things going down? Your thoughts on Brock Lesnar? It's like, again, he's caught in a situation. Your thoughts?
I'm not shocked at all. This dumb son of a bitch has been doping since he was in college. Didn't he fail drug tests in Minnesota when he played for the Vikings? That's why they got rid of him. I'm not shocked. He has nothing to lose, Ty. Nothing. Okay, thanks to spending from the UFC. What's he do? He jumps on board back to WWE where they're all steroid up. Even the big boss Vince McMahon is juiced up. They're all juiced in that organization. I'm not shocked at all. Mark Hunt, to get to Mark real quick, I don't blame him. I'd want that money too. Now, what pisses me off more than anything, and I'm going back to the John Jones thing. You get John Jones that failed the drug test back in early, middle of June. This drug test comes out with Brock Lesnar the 28th. I believe that's the same day. It was the same, the 28th or 29th is when they came out and said that Jones was suspended. Or what's going to be taken off the card, I should say, not suspended. Taken off the card. So you can't, Lesnar, too. No, you need that big money cash, don't you, Dana White? Forbid you lose your cash cow. You pull that one because you built this UFC 200 so much. That was a flop. Because you wanted that big name. Because you knew who bought your company that you're still running technically. So obviously you didn't sell it. You just got paid billions of dollars, $4 billion, but you're still running. This is ridiculous. This is another reason that I'm not. It's really pushing me away from the UFC. You had someone juiced that literally probably could have hurt Mark Hunt now if he hit him hard enough, right? He could have hurt him severely. So I don't blame Mark Hunt at all for wanting all that money. It's ridiculous. It's another thing of Dana White saying, ha ha, I screwed everybody over. I get paid in Brock laughing at everybody because he can still go back to the WWE and nothing happened.
Now, here goes Tommy B. putting a twist on things that makes me look at this even more to a different facet. And I thank him, and I love Tommy B for this. I love him for this. He just made me realize and think about John Jones being pulled from this same damn card. I wasn't even, like, really thinking. I was more or less just thinking along the lines of looking at Brock Lesnar, breaking Brock Lesnar down. This is the same card. This is the same card. Now, picture, because the test information came out before the fight. You pull John Jones, but you keep Brock there. And this is why I'm like, I love Tommy for this, and now I look at it differently now. You keep Brock there because Brock's name is bigger than John Jones. No matter how big John Jones is to the UFC, probably the best fighter in the sport, probably up until Anderson Silva started to decline more or less his age and, you know, the situation that happened with his leg, things of that nature. Yeah, I'm making excuses for Spider because I'm a Spider fan. I ain't going to lie. I'm a Spider fan. But you mean to tell me you pull John Jones, you got a situation in front of Brock Lesnar, you're supposed to pull Brock. You're supposed to pull Brock. Brock's wrong, he's wrong. But you keep him out there because you did not want that UFC 200 looking bad without Conor McGregor, who was supposed to be there. You pull that and then put that fight back into play. Then you get John Jones to fail his situation. You pull him and then put Anderson Silva in there with 2 days of preparation to fight Daniel Cormier, which I feel like if Anderson Silva was trained, Cormier would be in trouble because all he did was lay on top of him and tried to pound him, but it wasn't even a pounding. He just got away with just laying on top of him and winning the fight that way. And then Brock Lesnar did the same damn thing, laying on top of Mark Hunt. Every time he got on top of him, he was trying to throw a left-hand punch, and it wasn't landing with any severity, even though, you know, to a normal person, he'll maul him, you know what I'm saying? But in that octagon, it didn't even look like it was a thrilling, to me, I'm speaking on my personal agenda, I didn't feel like that was a thrilling fight at all. And now it's more of a black eye on the situation because he was doping. He was doping. Look, that UFC 200 is looking terrible. Looking terrible as of now. And where do they go from here? Just like Tommy said, he may potentially, being Lesnar, may potentially end up going back to WWE, being another star, back in the network, so on and so forth, which, of course, that's what he's going to end up doing because they're already in cahoots. They already had the WWE making the contract go down between both venues. Now they're trying to get CM Punk to fight, and what happens with CM Punk, he gets caught up in a situation. Who knows? He's been playing double dutch with UFC. Like, he wants to fight, he's going to fight. He wants to fight, he's gonna, enough. So now
well,
it's
supposedly
like,
supposedly CM Punk, he's a punk, all right. I believe was in UFC 202, I believe. He's scheduled to fight in 202. It's 202 or 203. He's scheduled to fight.
Right. So looking at the situation and looking at how much the UFC is dealing with, everything being drawn back to fighters being able to perform, coming up with an injury or coming up with something that's going on, whether it's a family matter or a health issue. And I speak of this from people that are close to me having to deal with health issues also. It's like, really, what's going on? Like now it's turned from UFC being the premier fighting network that a lot of people are tuning into and taking a back step away from boxing to looking at UFC to the same form that I looked at it when WWE was actually in bed with the UFC. This is looking like it's coming down to a funny situation or a funny ordeal. That's how I'm looking at it. Like, so now what? We're going to have a juiced-up UFC or a drugged-up UFC? Like, how do they save face for this network? That's how I look at it right now. So Brock Lesnar is probably going to end up spilling a lot more away from this situation than all entailed to.
It just goes to Dana White will never support John Jones. He didn't want him fighting Cormier. He doesn't want him as champion. That's why he had this shit come out like it did. He waited till the last minute. He had him fake an injury. Next time you want someone to fake an injury, Dana, don't have him working on Fox Sports on live TV where everybody can see that he's fine. Because Cormier was damn fine. You don't want him being your champion.
So
you want
so
Cormier
how do you see,
so you can bend him over because he'll kiss your ass.
So how do you see it fit? Do you want Cormier? Do you think they want Cormier sitting on top of the UFC? Because let's be honest, Cormier is 37 years old. Like his sand and his hourglass is running out as well. Like, are they looking for a new
how
up and comer?
How sweet is it, Ty? How sweet is it for them, for the UFC, to have people on UFC Tonight as their champion, sitting there talking about the sport? Think about it. The only one that's on there that runs it, that's not a champ is Rashad Evans, and he hasn't been on there that much.
And he just got out of that fight. Well, he got knocked out of that fight up against Glover Teixeira, which, you know, I'm still waiting to see what happens between him and Anthony if these two end up fighting anyway, because I want to see Rumble and him go at it, because the winner of that fight potentially goes up against Cormier. So do they look at it like, well, they get the stars to start falling in line? Who goes up against Cormier? Or is Cormier the new face of the network until he starts to decline in his situation? Because he's up there in age. He's up there in age. I was trying to say that previously. He's 37 going on 38 whenever the next birthday comes around. You can't really build a hype on a big-time network or organization or a guy that's going to be, you know, clocking out soon. He's going to be away from the sport pretty soon. I say, and I'm going to actually be fair, within a 3 to 5 year span, I feel like Cormier will stop in a 3 to 5 year span. If he goes to 43, 44, God bless him. But no grown man want to be in that network getting pounded on against young bulls that's coming into that situation also. Because he's going to be dealing with guys that are bigger, stronger, faster as time goes on, you know. So that's truly how I'm looking at this situation, especially for UFC, them gaining a $4 billion contract, a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of eyes now are focused on UFC, similar to the way that they look at WWE, and having these situations pop up around the likes of their big names in the sport not being able to perform because of one reason or the other.
I think Dana really wants McGregor to win his next BTS so he can build him up to be in the face of this company. I could be wrong. Until November, January, when Ronda comes back. Because reports were they had stuff come out with Holly Holm or Ronda would get the next fight with the champion, depending when she could come back, November, early January. I am telling you right now, I said it before, watch it be in January. It could be January because it's going to be, he wants that big money cash, and he's hoping he can push it back to January so he can have Holly Holmes defending that belt against Ronda.
So you feel like Holly will be ending up fighting Amanda Nunes?
Yes.
And speaking of which, not to totally switch up the situation, Miesha Tate may be away from the UFC for a while also with a badly broken nose. They're saying that the doctors have to fully physically clear her to fight again because of the break that she took to the nose. So that's why I was like, it looked like Miesha, to me, I was like, it looked like she was giving up at the end of the fight because the way that, I guess, Nunez had broken her nose. But I didn't know that her nose was broken at that time. I just know that.
You didn't watch the interview?
Well,
she was holding it over her face.
Right. No, I'm talking about during the fight, when the fight was going on, when she actually basically curled up at the end of the fight and basically let you know, Nunez actually take care of the fight so she could win it. I didn't know how severely broken that nose was. But they're saying that the claims are coming out that she will not be able to fight for a while until several doctors clear her that she could go out there and get into combat again, which this is how I looked at the same situation for Anderson Silva. When Anderson Silva broke his leg, it's like, when does he get back out there? He had to wait a good duration of time. They had to put rods in his leg to keep his leg stable, and he never was really himself again. Now you got the same situation where this is, you know, hand-to-head type of combat, even though, you know, they grapple and hit in other areas of the body, especially the women, they are attacking the face and head and neck area. You know, if they can get an arm bar, then fine. If they can do a leg situation, then fine. But they're going to attack that nose area and get her to basically cower down and not fight anymore because her nose could be broken again. Would she want to push that issue? She's a female. Do you really want to sit up there and risk breaking your nose again? Like, I know it's UFC and they don't care, but come on. You have to think longevity. Do you want to walk around for the rest of your life to 40, 50 with a crooked nose? Like, that's something that she's going to have to consider. She's going to have to consider, especially to get back to where she was. She was sitting on top of the MMA. The UFC, after beating Holly Holm with the belt, I mean, that's what you want. You had it for not even a fight. You won the fight, got the belt, and lost it. These are things that I think that she has to think about at the end of the day.
She needs to retire. I said it after the fight. She's not impressed with me, really. I'll say it, she got lucky against Holmes. I really don't think Holmes prepared like she should have. Or she prepared a different way, a certain way, and Miesha came out a different way that she wasn't prepared for. I don't know. But I guarantee you right now, they fight that fight 10 times. Holmes wins at least 9 or 8 times.
Now just looking at everything, especially with everything that's going on in Bellator right now, how a lot of the athletes from UFC are going to Bellator while things aren't too successful on the big hog network of the UFC. Seeing that a lot of these, you know, fighters are going to have to go that way, especially if Brock wants to stay here. But he has the contract. UFC is saying that he's not going anywhere. So I wonder how long that he has to, you know, potentially sit out in the wake of this storm. And if it's true, or if Mark Hunt is able to, one, you know, be given the fight and also the purse that Brock walks away with also. That's a handsome amount of money for a guy who basically just came back after a 4 or 5 year layoff, or however people want to look at it, 4.5, you know. He's been away from the game and came back cheating. Came back cheating like that. That's the funny part. That is the funny part. Brock, I look at you different. Regardless if you're a monster or not, everybody coming in there in a fair form. And I feel bad for Dana also, because Dana's sport has become a huge success. A lot of people gravitate to it. And so many things are happening month after month after month with big name after big name. I could see if it was another guy that was just a part of the undercard or something. These are headlining main event type of guys that are, you know, not able to fight or have something going on or, you know, not passing their test, you know, things of that nature. This is continual. After they just signed a $4 billion deal. Like, seriously? Seriously. People better watch what they say, man. Karma is a mother sucker. Let me tell you that. The people talking about boxing, look at UFC now. Look at UFC now. Okay. So as I say, the controversy continues. And I said I'm saving the best for last. Well, my co-host's name is Tommy B. And I'm here to talk about Tommy B. So I'm saving the best for last. And Tommy B, a.k.a. Tom Brady. I'm not going to talk about Tom Beard. I won't talk about him. I should, because he came after me last night, Sports City. He came after me like I was talking bad about him, Sports City. I'm going to just let y'all know about me and my brother here, Tommy B. He tried to give me the business, let me know a few things, and I'm like I challenged you? I don't even recall me challenging you. Well, anyway, so let me get into it. So Tom Brady actually loses the case of the Deflategate matter, in which he will have to serve the 4-game suspension. And he said that he's no longer going to appeal the process. He's just basically going to sit out the 4 games. Now, I'm going to get into a couple of things after we discuss this. But, Tommy, your thoughts on the situation of Brady and the Deflategate, him out for the first 4 games, and the Patriots have to start Jimmy Garoppolo, which everybody has been high on watching him come out there and start since this Deflategate incident. Can Garoppolo hit guys like Edelman, Gronkowski, Amendola, and still be successful? Because in Vegas, that's right, the place that I love, even though I don't like announcing it on Sports City, but the place that I love, still have the Patriots favored to win it all next year. Think about that. So is it because Garoppolo can go out there and be 2-2? Maybe 3-1. I don't want to push 4-0. If Garoppolo comes out the gate 4-0, I'm stunned. If the Patriots can come out the gate 4-0, then these must be defensive battles, or they better check Gronkowski and what he's eating. Or no, let me stop. I'm not doing that. But your thoughts on the Patriots and how New England could actually move forward with Belichick and the crew and Garoppolo manning the ship.
I am so glad this shit's over after 2 years. Thank you for finally just giving up, Brady. You were caught for cheating. Not a surprise at all, because every Super Bowl that you've won has been tainted, has been cheating. So I'm not shocked. You want to put him up as the greatest quarterback all time? Go ahead. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not. You cheaty bastard.
So you feel...
I'm glad he finally admitted that he knew about it.
So against the Rams... the Eagles and the Panthers, you feel like he cheated for those Super Bowls?
Dave, Todd, they had the Spygate where they knew everything.
Tommy, do you feel like each and every organization doesn't go to any of their up-and-coming competitors' games and see what they're doing? Like, you really feel like they have a blind – look, you played sports. You know that we watched film whichever venue, whether it was high school,
right,
college.
But they weren't videotaping. They were videotaping while the game was going on and was looking at plays right then and there.
Right. So they're getting – every team – listen, they say if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And not to say that I'm condoning or want to hear about people cheating. I'm not condoning that by any means. But come on, you really feel like since the Patriots got caught by Eric Mangini, who used to be a part of the Patriots staff after they lost, because Moss, put up three touchdowns in his first game with the Patriots. He went crazy on the Jets. I still remember the game till the day. His first game with the Jets, three touchdowns, was nine catches. He damn near had 200 yards receiving. They lose badly in New York, and then he comes out to the media. Oh, there's Spygate. They're trying to catch the guy that was recording in New York. Come on. Stop it. Like stop it. Every team, the Ravens record. You feel like the Ravens don't got a camera crew? Do you really think that this is a multi-million-dollar organization? Hey, you're Ravens. This is your Ravens team. You feel like they don't have a camera crew watching who? The Steelers or the Browns or come on. Come on, let's be real. Every team has a film crew. Just because the Patriots have been dominating the NFL for the past decade and a half plus, because it's 16 years since Brady been doing it. It's like, so let's do this. In 16 years, right? Divided by four. So every 4 years, Brady's getting you a Super Bowl. Win. And he's been to six of them in 16 years. And he and look, not to say that he will win another one. Brady win another one. I don't care how you look at it. Point blank, period. If he wins five and he still got a horse and Gronkowski, 6'5" at 26, 27 years old, that's crazy. That's crazy. He started getting weapons at the end of the Brady era. I don't even want to say the end of his career, because I feel like Brady has 2 to 4 years of this style of football in him, at least. Like, you don't see Brady's a year younger than Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning just retired, and we all could physically see Peyton Manning didn't have nothing left in the tank. Nothing. He had less than 150 yards passing in the Super Bowl and won. You don't see Brady. If you see Brady in a Super Bowl like that, you think Brady would have under 150 yards pass? Those are Alex Smith stats. Seriously, like be real. Like I see what Brady's done up until this point, and I can't really just overlook the fact that it's the Deflategate situation. They make it seem like Brady came to the game and the balls were so flat that they wouldn't bounce off the floor, and whatever. Whatever, even if it was like a .1, a .2 of air out of the ball, it was for a half and they only scored a touchdown. They came out when the ball was corrected and he ended up putting up 37 points. Stop. For something that happened 2 years ago, move on. Even the secondary, this is the best part about the Deflategate stuff in front of Tom Brady. And they feel like I'm being so pro-Tom Brady, which I kind of am. But even the secondary,
I think Sports City,
hold on. In the wake of this situation, the secondary of the Indianapolis Colts that caught, Jackson and all of them, we don't blame Brady and them. We got our asses kicked. This is what the Colts secondary said. They said, regardless of the Deflategate situation or not, we got our ass kicked. They said it. Like, I can see it did happen. So it happened. And they said, but Brady was cheating because the balls were flattened a little bit. Do you feel like the flattening of the ball or the air that was taken out of the ball had something to do with the game? Luck was turning the ball over, couldn't score. Like, come on. Like, it's going to take, like, now you know, in the future for Luck to actually start winning games up against the Patriots. The Patriots own the Colts. They own the Colts. Let's be honest. They are still favored. They're still favored to win the Super Bowl without Brady playing his first four games. Like, think about that. Like, come on. And that's even if, like I said, Garoppolo could probably go 1-3, which I really want to feel confident in saying that. I hope he could do 2-2, so it's safe face. So it's like, okay, well, Brady got a fair situation to come back in these 12 games and do something. You know what I'm saying? He goes 2-2, Brady end up going, you know what, 10-2. They have a 12-4 season. You know what I'm saying? Just to say something like that, you know? Like, come on, like let's be real here. Like, I really want to see this picture painted differently. But the NFL was coming after the situation. A lot of people complained about it. And Brady said he would no longer appeal the situation and sit out the four games. I know it's a headache and tying money up into all of the legal situations, legal fees, lawyers, so on and so forth. It's enough. You sit back and count that money. But now this is what I really wanted to discuss. You're in a situation where Peyton Manning just retired. Tom Brady's out for the first four games. Two of your biggest names in the game will be out at least the first four games of the season. You don't feel like you're going to lose money? Like, of course, it's a $1 billion industry, but you don't feel like there's not going to be a severe amount of people watching those Bronco games. I mean, of course, you got the Bronco fans, but Manning not there no more. Let alone, depending on if Drew Brees come back and have a decent season. I'm trying to name the elite quarterbacks. Well, Eli has weapons. So the Giants may be back. The Giants may be back, depending on if everybody stays healthy. Cruz stays healthy. Odell being Odell, like, the Giants will be back. Just throw Eli in the conversation, even though I really don't feel like he's elite, but he's put himself there. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, having to rebuild the Steelers situation, if they could sit back on top of the AFC North, even though I know Tommy won't like that. Flacco coming back after his injury, you know, just try and throw some of these names out there. It's hard for this NFL situation to try and, you know, put the cowbell on somebody that can carry the torch right now. I don't know. Until Brady comes back, it's going to be week five until we see somebody, everybody's going to, you know, take a deep breath and sigh to see what the Patriots look like now that they're at full strength with Brady being back. And hopefully the team remain healthy because we've seen how they got injured in the middle of the season and still ended up getting to an AFC championship game. They still got there. They still got there with all of the injuries to Gronk, Edelman being out. They had so many fill-in receivers, and they still had the season that they had last year. Well, they didn't flatten balls then. They didn't flatten balls then.
Your thoughts on this? They literally could lose their first three games. Arizona, in Arizona, that could be a loss. Then they play Miami. Then they play Miami, not knowing which, I mean, I'm going to favor Miami to win that. They've got Houston in that mix. See, that's the one I'm very interested in. I hope it's on TV to where it can be watched where my Ravens don't interact on that one. Because that New England-Houston game could be interesting now. I'm very interested to see how Houston comes out and plays. I mean,
okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, the Jets, Miami, and Buffalo need to capitalize on this big time.
Now, in which, here we go, the first four games, only one of them is on the road. That's that Cardinals game, which I agree with you, Tommy. If the Cardinals are still up to their same antics and sending those blitz packages after Garoppolo has not seen those packages. Brady's been successful up against the Cardinals on several occasions. Garoppolo has not seen this at prime time, and this is a prime time game. It's the Sunday night game. This is a Sunday night game in Arizona, and then you have three games that are in Gillette, which I feel like this can change the atmosphere because the Patriots don't really lose too much at home. But the Dolphins are there, And I'm a heavy advocate. Tannehill, prove it to me. Tannehill, prove to me that you are an NFL quarterback. I know you hold the position and you have the title. Prove to me that you can knock the Patriots defense down, like for real, and not just win a game here, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. I'm tired of y'all trading. Sweep the series. Sweep it. Go into New England and steal it. And I really don't give them too much credit anyway because they're going up against Garoppolo, so they're beating up on a guy that don't really have too much NFL experience. Then the Texas situation is Osweiler, a whole new system, no running back. Arian Foster not there no more. He does have receivers, though. He has Hopkins and company. They added some receivers to him, too. So the Texas situation can be tough, but they're in New England. They're in New England. But that defensive front, knowing J.J. Watt, I love to get after a guy like Garoppolo. There's no Tom Brady. I know Will Fork, us being Canes, I love to make some stuff happen. That'll be interesting in itself also. But the Texans have to remain healthy also. These dudes get bumps and bruises getting out of the shower. They get out of the shower and get hurt. So that's something I'm looking at. And Buffalo is the last one of the four-game suspension, being in Gillette again. Whoever the quarterback may be at that time, if Tyrod is running the show, if they have another quarterback in the saddle running the show, they do have speedsters on the outside. Can they make a difference? Can Shady McCoy go in there and steal this game in Gillette? It's something that we have to see. But a lot of the pressure and the eyes are on Jimmy Garoppolo to be the guy while Brady is out. And then once Brady comes back, I mean, it's all downhill from there. They have the Browns, the Bengals, tough game against the Steelers. They go into Buffalo, seeing if Buffalo can do their thing. They play the Seahawks, the Niners, Jets, Rams, Ravens, Broncos, Jets, Dolphins. I mean, these are all approachable, winnable games. I feel like the Seahawks game, Steelers game, the Bengals game can be trouble for them. Also the Bills in Buffalo, too, because I feel like this is a new Buffalo team. But all of the other games,
that Baltimore game is going to be tough, too, for them.
You guys do not play them.
Baltimore
plays. Oh, yes, you do. You do play them. You do play them. It's a Monday nighter. Okay, so I see this one. Okay. But this, you're in Gillette. You are in Massachusetts.
I'm telling you right now, that fourth game with Buffalo, if they can get any, I'll say Taylor's the quarterback. If they can get him to play manageable, I think that defense for Buffalo can win this division. They just got to get good quarterback play. If he doesn't do stuff stupid, turn the ball over, I'm telling you, people are sleeping on Buffalo.
Consistency.
And
is
I'm not saying
Buffalo.
That
they don't
I still
consistent.
Got heart. My team, that was my former team before they moved, Baltimore came in. I'm telling you, that defense could be dangerous.
The consistency
is
what I'm looking at with the Bills. The Bills have to play consistently. They are in that division. They win a game, they lose a game.
Good quarterback play.
And that's no guarantee also. Like, do they put all of the onus on Shady McCoy? Like, and that's always been the makeup of Buffalo, having a strong running back from McGahee to Marshawn Lynch, Thurman Thomas. Just thinking of all of the names that have been in that backfield, they've had to shoulder the load. Is this literally LeSean McCoy's season to shoulder the load for Buffalo, for them to get back to the way things once were in the early 90s? Like, I don't know. This is something that we have to see. Is there going to be a new AFC East champ? Or does Jimmy Garoppolo hold this down until Brady gets back and then, you know, Brady puts his sheriff badge on and starts nailing the AFC East down again? Who knows?
England go out and try to get Fitzpatrick just to be a quarterback for four games? Or is there another quarterback out there that maybe they try to trade for to bring in a quarterback?
No. I don't think
all know how Belichick thinks.
Exactly. That's who I was exactly going to go to. I don't think Belichick will try and I don't even want to say cower down, but give in to the situation that Garoppolo doesn't have an ounce of NFL success or not even success play. Like, all he's done is preseason, you know? So I feel like he's going to go with it. You know their motto, the next man up. And if Garoppolo wins, just let's just say Garoppolo goes into Arizona and beats the Cardinals. What happens then? Is the mystique around Brady, that Brady's job can be upheld the same way that he did Drew Bledsoe back in 2000 when Bledsoe got nailed by the Jets? And then next thing you know, the legacy of Tom Brady started because opportunity presented itself? Like, you got to think like that. Garoppolo could probably go in there and win his game. Look, let me tell you like this. The Cardinals are successful because they can send blitz packages from that secondary. They'll blitz the honey badger. They'll send people. They can't send them to the line of scrimmage and get after the quarterback like that. Listen, if they hit Gronkowski with a quick route, what happens then? No safety coverage. The safety already inclined to go after the quarterback. Then you got Gronkowski running free. That's a 20 to 30 yard scamper. And then you got to try and bring 6'5", 270-pound ogre kid, because he's a big ass kid, running around free on that field. Yeah, right. Or Edelman, who's a hard 2 yard cover. He could do a 2 yard in and out and double move and move the chains also. That is all there. The Cardinals have to play that honestly. Even though they can blitz and send all packages to get after the quarterback, they have to play that honest. They have to. Because they could get hurt off a quick. Let's be honest. That's how they won. Sending more than two blitzes after the quarterback. Every quarterback they played panicked. Right or wrong?
Yeah, but you get a quarterback that hasn't played a lot, and you send in blitzes at him, he could force something. And with Matthews, Peterson, I'm trying to think of this stuff off the top of my head. I'm not sure everybody else they've got back there. I mean, there could be a pick six very quickly.
Okay, we do have a call in queue. Hold on, Tom. We got a caller in queue. Wait. We got a caller in queue. Calling in from the 770 area code. Welcome to the brunch. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, it's Matt. It's been a while. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on the issue at hand?
I think the Cardinals went ahead and ran their mouth on that backup quarterback. And you never know what Belichick's, if he's going to have him ready or not. It's just a little bit to jump the gun and give the guy some bulletin board material.
How do you feel the Patriots prepare themselves for the first four games without Brady and moving forward, knowing about Nevada and Las Vegas, the Patriots are still favored to win it all?
I think you're looking at 2-2, probably at worst, but I'm a little bit biased to Belichick. But I think we all know the Patriots pretty much run the NFL, even if they don't make the Super Bowl. Their owner benefits off other teams making it. I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I don't see any threat from Buffalo or Miami, or of course the Jets are out of there. So I think Brady will come back in. They'll be 2-2, and then they'll wind up probably 11-5 or 12-4.
Okay, and looking at their first four games, and you said 2-2 at worst case scenario, you don't even look at it as 1-3 or 0-4. Who are the teams that think threaten the
week? I don't see that happening. I think it's a system. I think you put Tom Brady on another team, he would not thrive as good as he has.
Interesting. So if Brady was on the Falcons, you don't think he could do good with Julio and company?
I think he could do well for Atlanta, but I think Belichick has one of the best schemes in the NFL, and he always has. And what happened last year at Denver was the offensive line broke down. Denver was able to get a lot of pressure. And then that two-point conversion, you know, Brady probably has nightmares about that, so he's ready to get back on the field.
The worst call ever.
Yeah, what was that call again?
A run play.
Right.
It wasn't even a pass. You mean to tell
does
me that
Brady
I'm taking
the preseason at all? Or do you
does
think
he get to play? I think he probably does get to play the preseason.
I mean, did you start him? Because you got to get the other guy.
I'd rather Garoppolo. I'd rather Garoppolo. I'd rather Garoppolo start so he could be ready. You're right. I'd rather Garoppolo do it. And look, look, this is actually better for the Patriots. Let Brady sit over here in the sideline in a jogging suit. I'm not even doing it. I don't need to see him get sacked. They send a blitz after him in the preseason. Yeah, right. You sit over there and drink Gatorade. Hold the clipboard, throw some signs up, get off the field. Do you know what we're talking about, Tommy B? We're talking about Tommy B. This is no other quarterback in the league. Come on, man. Your name is vital, Tommy B. Your name is vital to the league, man. That's real. Tom Brady is the cash cow to the NFL. Do you know how many people watch the Patriots games, even if they're not Patriots fans? Think about that, man. Think of it. The league is going to take a hit while him and Payton are not at least on the field for the first four games. The league, watch. Of course, they're going to do their numbers, but, like, come on. At least how I feel. So Matt, like I said, out of the first four games, who do you think who could potentially beat the Patriots? Is it the Cardinals, Bills, Cardinals, Texas? I feel like the Cardinals are a potential stud to win that game. Or if Garoppolo can go in Arizona, like I was saying to Tommy, if the Patriots can go in there and steal that game up against the Cardinals, then I think all hell breaks loose on the barkings for Garoppolo.
Honestly, Ty, that Arizona game will be tough, but I think Buffalo, based off past history, where is that Buffalo game? Is it in New England?
It's in Gillette.
If out of the two, believe it or not, I would give Buffalo a slight advantage to beat the Pats, but I'm sure Arizona will be favored with that backup quarterback. We just don't know what he's going to do. It would be good to see some tape on him in the preseason, see if he has any poise or not, but it's really an unknown, but Arizona had a pretty good team last year. You know, they fought hard to beat the Packers. They always have a good team out there with that coach, Bruce Arians. So you got to think Arizona's probably going to be favored in that game by at least 4 points.
Well, let me heighten this situation because Tommy knows about the situation so good too. People, don't forget who the Cardinals quarterback is, people. And Tommy knows this well.
Carson Palmer.
Okay, thank you very much. Turnover King. Don't even start. And this is the crazy part about it. Don't think Belichick ain't licking his chops to send blitz packages at his tail. Let's be real.
Yeah, but does New England have anybody that can go up with Larry Fitzgerald? Plus, they've got Floyd. I mean, that wide receiver core is not that bad in New up there in Arizona.
Okay, but almost every time that the Patriots have gone up against Fitzgerald, do you think Fitzgerald's have, you know, field days up against his Patriot team? Or have the Patriots beaten the crap out of Fitzgerald almost every time that they played? They only play once every 4 years. Let's be real. Almost every time they play Arizona, they give
him. Was it Robinson in the slot?
They got weapons, but okay, I'm going to do this again. Are you ready, Tommy? You ready? You know who the quarterback is.
Yeah, but that quarterback's good in the regular season, Ty. It's the postseason that scares me with him.
Right, and he didn't play against the Patriots in those seasons. Hell, we see what he was doing. You tell me how he was faring against your Ravens with Ocho Cinco and Jose Mazada. He still was losing. And he had the best core at that time right there. Right or wrong?
Yeah, but we had a defense back then, too.
Okay.
Not saying we don't now.
We had one hell of a defense back then. Wait, and
we
Belichick
had one of the,
don't
we
play
got the
defense?
Best linebacker that's played the game and probably one of the best safeties that's ever played the game.
Okay, and Belichick don't preach defense? Look at the pieces that he still got on his defense. He still got Collins. He still got Hightower. He still got Ninkovich. He still got packages. Like, who are we talking about? Did Bill Belichick get suspended too? Yes or no? No. Are we
downplaying
are we downplaying what Belichick could do?
Better not.
I know. What? What are we talking about? Jesus. Look at the pieces that they picked up. They got a lot of pieces, too. So let one of these dudes.
Yeah, but if you
get
a bunch of four and outs or turnovers, that defense is going to get tired and wore out. We've seen that.
Thinking about this. Look, Tommy, when you watch the Cardinals game, they were successful at sending an extra two blitzers after the quarterback, and one of the blitzers would be the Honey Badger. They cannot sit up there and watch Tyrann Mathieu go after Garoppolo and leave Gronk open. That's an NFL sin. With you being a Raven fan, do you think Harbaugh would sit up there and leave Gronk wide open or with coverage on a linebacker? And he could outrun Gronk runs a 4-5. He could outrun that linebacker. He could outrun him. Would you like to see
that? We put a spy. When we had that defense with Ed and Landry, I'm saying,
do you think that Harbaugh would sit up there and send a blitzer with responsibility for Gronk? Huh?
We did blitz Brady. That's the key.
But from the secondary, you were not sending Ed Reed and them boys at the line of scrimmage.
We did at times.
Okay, what happened the last time y'all played them? The last time the Patriots played the Ravens, what happened?
We beat them by a field goal. We lost in that playoff game.
Right.
Yeah, the playoff game we lost because they ran that illegal play.
Everything is illegal. This is the bone to pick with Bill Belichick, man. I'm telling you. Like I said, they are still favored to win the league, win the Super Bowl without Brady for the first four games. And just look. And I even try to paint the worst case scenario. I try to say 1-3. Like just to say that he sneaks a win one of these at home, and people in Massachusetts are happy. They can sneak a win. If they're 2-2, then the table's still set for Brady. Still set. Picture if he goes 12-4. Hell, look, this is the worst part. Picture if Brady run the table and they go 14-2. That'll be disgusting. Then what? What will people say then if Brady holds the league down, after being suspended for a game, and he come out with a better game plan than ever? What can people say then? Right, they can't say nothing. They can't say nothing if he come out like that. Nothing. They better hope Brady's joints start bothering him and he can't, drop back as good as he want to, or that line ain't protected for him. They better hope a couple of things happen. And they better hope the freaking situation happens with injury. They better hope that happens. I don't know. Anything else in front of the suspension or the Flint gate before we get moving?
Nope.
Okay, so Matt, we haven't heard from you in a while, so I'm struggling with you right now. Both of our teams sitting at the bottom of the MLB, in which Tommy is actually a national fan, and these guys have been taking care of business, coming up with a big win against Pittsburgh yesterday also. Your thoughts around the league right now in the MLB?
Man, guys, it's been a while. It's good to catch up. I am a season ticket holder of the lowly Atlanta Braves. I have suffered through one of the worst seasons I've seen in a long time. I blame Time Warner. Pretty sure that's a very Eagle corporation. And their only objective, promos or concerts after the Braves games, they had an actual Braves player, Chase DiNardo or whatever. He actually had his band perform after the show. That shows you the agenda of of the Braves player. He would rather be in a band than actually play baseball. I've seen so many errors. I saw them collapse up 3-0 in the eighth inning yesterday and lost the game 4-3 to Colorado. They're old. They're out of shape. The youngsters aren't ready. They need to go ahead and call up minor leaguers. They won't do it. The agenda is clearly has nothing to do with winning in Atlanta. It's now a losing culture here. It's going to be the last season in Turner Field. The last game's October 2nd at 3 o'clock. I'm going to probably be going to that one. But I've skipped about the last 5 or 10 games. I can't even stand it how bad they play at home. As far as MLB goes, the Nationals are looking very good. Strasburg, I believe, is 13-0. Correct me if I'm wrong. And also the Cubs look strong. In the American League, you got the Cleveland Indians as a threat this year, legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
You still got teams like Boston. Texas has kind of fallen off. But you got Baltimore, who might be a threat. And then I want to say it's probably going to be Baltimore or Cleveland, but I don't count the Royals out either. But the American League will be very interesting. The National League seems like, to me, it's either Washington or the Cubs, with San Francisco having a problem.
Whoa, I was going to say, what about the Giants? The Giants are the best team in the league, and you just totally excluded them. You just pushed them off the map, so the Giants don't have anything to say about this?
The Giants are solid.
Okay. Now I want to ask another question. Looking at how the Red Sox are kind of doing this farewell bid for Poppy, you don't feel like the Red Sox have something to say, too? They're playing good ball also.
The Red Sox are definitely a threat. I think for them it depends on pitching. And I guess if they keep beating up on the Yankees in Tampa Bay, they're going to definitely have a shot at the wild card.
And they
might even catch Baltimore.
And here goes another Cardinal saying, you cannot pump up the Nationals at all while Tommy is on air. You can't do that. Can't do it. Like, you got to talk about them briefly and keep it moving. I try my best not to get this dude to smile, but I know he's loving every last bit of what's going on. But they have been playing great ball. It's the one thing that they have to keep it up now in the second half of the season, especially while they approach August and September. Definitely. But
the next two weeks will tell how good we really are. The next 2 to 3 weeks will tell where we're at.
The one series I'm looking at is when you guys play the Giants. When you guys play the Giants, that's what I'm looking at. If you guys can be successful,
well, you
right
can
here,
look at that one. I'm looking at Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in memo to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I was going to use this as a closeout, but I'll go ahead and do it now. Do not pitch. Do not bring Kershaw back Thursday. You don't want him pitching in that D.C. heat and that humidity. Just wait and push him back on Friday. Bring him back Friday.
Don't motivate Kershaw now.
You don't want D.C. No, you don't want to bring him back in that D.C. heat. Go ahead. Wait,
I'm sending Kershaw this audio tape.
God, I don't want Kershaw coming back on Thursday.
Why not?
Yeah, but did you hear him, Tommy?
What?
He said, why not? Why don't you want him to come back?
Because he's pitching against my Nationals. And the way he came back, the way he pitched against us before, now I'm good. I'll wait and see him in the postseason.
Did you see him pitch against at Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Baseball a few weeks ago?
Yes, I did.
He had some trouble that day, so
yeah,
it depends
on
how he rehabbed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing about the Dodgers. They rush him back in their rotation so fast. It's also the responsibility of the player, to be honest, but Noah Kershaw just loves to go out there just to pitch. I don't even think it's a situation that he wants to go out there and just, you know, get it a check or, you know, things of that nature. I really think that he wants to go out there and try to perform, but when he gets rocked, they rattle him, you know, so do they sit on him while he's still in the hunt? I mean, they're 5.5 back from the Giants right now. I mean, he's one pitcher. He can't pitch all four games of that rotation. So So, like, do they sit on him until they fully feel like he's 100%, or do they rush him out there if he's 81 to 88%? You know, like, they have to look at that. He is their workhorse pitcher.
He threw 60 pitches yesterday, I think. It was yesterday or Friday. He had a bullpen session. They're waiting to see how he feels in all. But the Dodgers organization came out and said they're looking at Thursday against the Nationals in D.C. And that is a noon game. And anybody that's been to D.C. around anywhere between noon to 5, God, you better have water and everything else because that humidity will kill you.
I don't even want to talk about this damn summer heat. It was just 98 degrees Friday. It hit 98 again, and they said it was supposed to rain. It didn't. So believe me, I'm not a fan of this heat at all.
But I'm going to tell you a team to watch out for. They are only 4.5 games out, and they were, I believe, almost in the
Houston Astros.
Cellar. It was the Houston Astros. They are 4.5 games out. Texas better be coming on before they choke this lead away.
Right.
Because Houston is playing some ball.
Yeah, and the Rangers lost yesterday to the Cubs, too. So, looking at the situation with the Astros, they actually got knocked off yesterday to the Mariners. This is going to be an interesting chase out there in the AL West, which, it to me, looks like it's a two-team race. Just both West divisions. With San Francisco and L.A. and looking at the situation with Texas, well, both teams in Texas with the Rangers and the Astros, I think it's a two-team race in both divisions, at least to me right now. But which one of the second-place teams do you feel could catch the first-place team? Do you feel like it's the Dodgers that could catch the Giants or the Astros that catch the Rangers?
Houston.
Got to go with Houston.
You feel like Texas – Both of you feel like the Rangers could end up faltering.
Definitely.
I got to say with my prediction that the Dodgers don't make the playoffs.
Brutal. So who do you think is the wild card in the NL?
The Mets will get in. I said the Mets would get in. That's all depending on their injuries.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Matt, what did you say?
I think the St. Louis Cardinals will be the wild card.
Really?
Who else? Because there's two.
Yeah, isn't there – you guys got to forgive me because they changed the format about every year in every sport. Isn't there three teams that make the wild card now?
Two.
He just said it was two.
Okay, three division and two wild cards. Believe it or not, I'm going to go with Miami.
Ah, Tommy, look at there.
I've got Miami or New York, but I've got right now New York, but that all depends on their pitching, their health, that health. Harvey's out for the year. Max is looking okay, but he has had arm injuries. Syndergaard has had bone chips and fatigue in the arm, in the shoulder area. I'll say the Mets in Pittsburgh.
Okay, I want to ask a critical question because I am close by the situation. I live right here. Tommy, I'll come to you first. With the way that the Yankees are looking at this point in time, even though things can't turn around because they do get better, especially in the month of July, right, and this is right around the A-Rod birthday situation where they start to turn this around. But where they are under 500. If they remain under 500 at the end of the season, do you think some of these heads start rolling?
See, the Yankees are one of those teams that's very interesting. I mean, trading deadline comes up the 31st. What do they do? Do they say, I mean, there are reports that Aroldis Chapman is on the trading block. They are willing to do that. Now, I'm going to give you a team that could put them out for only one reason. Watch and see if it is true that Chapman's out there. Watch and see if Dusty Baker and the Washington Nationals don't try to go get him to build that bullpen up. Because Dusty has been with him in Cincinnati. I'm very interested to see how this goes with them. Because I'll go back to the beginning with this team. They were so, after so many free agents, they just kept bringing them in this way. They never focused on the minor league to build that minor league organization up. I mean, I don't know how to take this Yankee team. But, I mean, they finished 500. Yeah, I mean, I'll say, to answer the question, yeah, I think they'd start rolling. I'm not sure what. I mean, do they get rid of Joe Torre? God, I'm really going back in time.
Girardi.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Or does Cashman finally get tossed, the GM? I don't know.
How about you? How do you feel about the Yankee situation, especially the way that they've looked out of the gate? And they usually get better in the summertime, but if this continues and they stay under 500, do some of the heads start rolling off of this roster?
Are we talking about the New York Yankees?
This is a discussable situation, yes or no?
No. I was just clarifying. You know, sometimes I zone out, but I just want to let y'all know CC Sabathia is done. Yesterday, he looked like he was cruising for a few innings. Not really cruising. He was down 2-1. But when all of a sudden, a couple guys on, gives up a golf ball or a meatball right down the middle. Guy jacks it out for Boston, 3-run shot. I think that's it for CC. The Yankees have no pitching. The only thing they have is Chapman in the bullpen. So, but the problem is the Yankees can't get the game to where he gets a lot of save opportunities because the Yankees are always behind. I don't give the Yankees any shot this year. I think they might wind up a little bit over 500, but there's no way they're catching Boston and Toronto for the wild card or even Houston for that matter.
Do you think they get above 500?
I think they might finish above 500 or right around it. But you got guys like Brian McCann. I don't know why they have him. I guess he might have a glove, but the guy doesn't produce. He did better in Atlanta, believe it or not, but you got guys like that underachieving. You got a starting pitching staff. Can anybody tell me an ace in the New York Yankees?
That's a good question. Look, they already are talking. They were talking about it yesterday. They're actually questioning Pineda, like the way that he's been on the bump also. And watching this heavy decline happen around his team is stunning. It is stunning.
I mean, they have good bullpen with Miller, Chapman. Like I said, Chapman reportedly is on the market for trade. I'm very interested to see if they trade him, if they get rid of Miller. There's another young kid that pitched in the All-Star game. I can't think of his name right now that looked good for him. And, I mean, it's just that you don't have to start pitching. They're always down, and just the bats aren't really going. I'm very interested to see what happens with this team. Very interested.
Okay. Any team that you feel like that's under the radar that we aren't paying attention to that could actually try and make that run, you know, that late season push or similar to like the 2008 Colorado Rockies when they made that run, or 2009, excuse me, when they made that run and got to the World Series up against the Red Sox? Do we see a team that could potentially make the run like that? Do you think like the Blue Jays could be a team that could do something like that at this point in time where they're playing good ball and could go end up, you know, catching the Orioles and the Red Sox. So, I mean, they're actually – they have the same win total as the Red Sox at this point. They have more losses, though, because they have more games played on the season. But, I mean, is it a team like the Blue Jays or a team that we're not thinking of that could potentially come out of the woodworks and wreak havoc?
I mean, I had the Blue Jays winning the East, and I still think they win the East. Baltimore does not have the pitching. Boston is up and down. They can beat up on the Yankees. They can beat up on the Braves. But then when they play someone, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. I still think Toronto wins this division, and they are very dangerous when they get in the playoffs.
Matt, how about you? How do you feel about that?
The Toronto Blue Jays, they represent Canada. They choked last year. They should have made the World Series. They really don't have the pitching, I think, to compete with even Baltimore or Cleveland. Baltimore and Cleveland has superior managing and has superior starters than Toronto. I don't see anybody sneaking up. Houston might surprise, and then actually Tommy's picking Pittsburgh. You never know with them, but they always seem to choke too. So I think it's pretty clear-cut to me that the top teams like Washington, San Francisco, Baltimore, Cleveland should be your final four, in my opinion. I don't see anything crazy. Maybe, like you said, Ty, Boston could make a run. But teams like Texas and the Cubs always choke. I'd love to see the Cubs in there, but I think they're going to choke again.
So you feel like the Cubs will fall short?
The Cubs have done it for so many years. I know no one believes in the curse because of Boston Red Sox, but the Cubs always find a way to mess it up. Always.
I think it's different with Joe Maddon there. I feel Joe Maddon could be a different, you know, mindset there. Like, especially with Epstein there, a lot of things are different now. Like, this isn't the old Cubs that we've seen with, I don't want to say weak-minded, you know, individuals, but I feel like they have the right players being important people, whether it's the skip or GM, things of that nature, involved with this Cubs team, where we've seen a difference. They've been backsliding, and they're still sitting on top of the NL Central, which that is a very dangerous division to still stay on top of.
When Jake Arrieta was on his run where he started out about 11-1, I was really a firm believer that he could carry them. But after seeing his last maybe 3 to 5 starts, I'm very skeptical. And I think he is now beatable. I don't know if he maybe put too much emphasis on his first few starts and he wore out his arm because he throws so much heat. But if Jake Arrieta is not consistently getting wins, you know, kind of how Kershaw normally does, you know, before he played Pittsburgh, then I think the Cubs are really, really going to be a question mark in the playoffs. I thought he was going to be the dominant guy that could go like maybe even like Sandy Koufax and get up to like 20 wins, but now I don't see it.
Tommy,
the
how
Cubs,
about you?
The Cubs needs a good fourth or fifth starter. That's where they've lost a lot of their games. That and Arrieta just doesn't look the same. Like Matt said, he looks beatable. He looked beatable when my Nationals had him in Chicago with that bullpen blew it. He's not looked the same. He just looks like his arm's tired. And their net back pitching with Hamels and who's the other guy? They're just not beatable.
They have Lester.
They
have Lester and Lassie.
Right, but that's their first three because it goes. Arrieta, Lackey, Lester, Hamels, and that fifth starter, his name slips me. But don't be dangerous, don't get me wrong, because, I mean, Joe Maddon seems to be doing everything. And I'll say
the fifth player is Hendricks. Hendricks is the fifth pitcher.
The other guy, yeah, he's not looked well lately either. I mean, yes, Hamels won the last game, his last start, but, I mean, I'll say they have a MVP right now, with Chris Bryan, but you can't count out Daniel Murphy, what he's done too for the Nationals. And I'm not saying that to be a homer. He's helped his Nationals team a lot. I mean, you take him off this team and put him back in New York, that East may look different. Daniel Murphy is a big key.
Do you know they put Chris Bryant all over the damn field? Like, this dude is literally
third, left, and right.
Jesus. But looking at this offense, I feel like their offense can actually do work, too, to keep them in games. Regardless if the pitching is struggling, they can actually bat around and get, you know, run support also. So it don't really have to be too much pressure for these pitchers the whole, you know, whole square. You know what I mean? Like, I really feel like their offense will do enough, especially the way Rizzo's been hitting the ball. Brian, I mean, we don't even have to speak on this. Zobrist actually making a name for himself. I know Matt won't like this, but if Hayward could wake up and stay consistent, I mean, this Cubs team is still something that you have to consider. I mean, they are still wavering around the top of the league, not even just the National League. Like, their record with them, you know, not having an interesting standpoint right now, they are still in the hunt to be one of the league's best teams right now.
I mean, I'm not discounting them. I mean, I can literally see the National League, the National League Championship Series. It could be San Francisco, Washington. I could see San Francisco, Chicago. I could see Chicago, Washington. I mean, right now I'm not sure how it's going to go.
Okay.
But I have seen how my Nationals play against Chicago. We've played well, very well. We haven't played San Francisco yet. We play them in the next 2 weeks, home, away, and then home. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. I can't wait to play them. I hate playing them out west because it's so late out here on the East Coast. It's like a 10:40 game, 10:50 start time.
Now, I want to bring something to you guys' attention and see how you guys feel about it. I'm going to come to you first on this one, Tommy. Out of all people that are in the front office of the Major League situation, you have Joe Torre speaking on behalf of, you know, skippers or managers coming out arguing or challenging balls and strikes, saying that it's detrimental to the game. Now, they're acting like, especially Joe Torre, out of all people speaking on this, like this wasn't the guy that was in Yankee pinstripes that used to come out and battle with these umps. Now, all of a sudden, I guess, since you're upstairs in the box, you get to speak on this and saying that it's bad for the game. I want to see how you feel about this in light of this situation, that Torre is saying that the skippers basically should stay in the dugout.
Well, I mean, this is ridiculous. What can these managers argue anymore? They can't argue a player safe or out, and if the review goes the wrong way, they can't just argue that before they get ejected. I mean, I've seen some balls and strikes called that are ridiculous. That's went, like, what are you talking about? How's that a strike? The ball's a 2 inches, 3 feet off the plate, and it's called a strike. But then you get balls that hit the corner that are strikes, and you call them balls. I mean, you might as well just tell the manager just to sit down, and what's he supposed to argue to help his team? That's like the play at second base now where the runners can't, I mean, you can't even argue that anymore. I mean, what can they argue? I mean, he was a manager in New York, and I believe he did it in Chicago, too, in the 80s. So, I mean, he knows what it's like. This is ridiculous for Joe Torre to do that, do this shit.
Man, how about you? Especially one of the bigger advocates of going out there, going after the umps. Now you have Joe Torre speaking on behalf of this, saying that they need to, you know, chill out on the situation.
I got to agree with Tommy. I'll make it pretty short because he hit the nail on the head on that. But, yeah, it's pretty much ridiculous to me.
I mean, okay. some of them don't even come out. They do it from the dugout.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And still get tossed. And still get tossed from the game, too, when they do that.
I mean, I remember the David Ortiz being ejected when the ball was in the dirt. It was called a strike.
Yep.
And then he comes running out like George Brett did against the Yankees in the playoffs.
And they say it's detrimental to the game, right? Well, this is what Joe Torre says, right? And the crazy part about it is if a skipper doesn't do that, then you're going to watch an ump with a crazy strike zone do this all game long. Like if you get a manager come out there and speak on behalf of his team and walk away from the ump without getting tossed, things may change. What are they supposed to do, sit back and take it? Honest.
I'm going to tell you what's detrimental to the game. Stay and play at second place where you can't, or second base, when nobody knows what's going to happen. I remember the first game in Atlanta. I believe it was the first game when the Nationals opened up. When Mark Hakes slid into the bag and his hand left. And they called the runner out at first, too. But then you watch a play where a guy runs in, I guess he slid late or whatever. But he still slid into the bag. Nothing was called. I mean, and then there was a play a couple weeks ago with the Nationals where it was in New York when we lost the one game in New York. Jason Worth slid hard into the bag, and I can't remember who was running the first. They called him out. It's like none of these umpires understand what the call is. That's what's detrimental to the game. There's none of these umpires know what to call with the slot in the second base. So pretty much there's going to be no breakups for a double plays. And I'm telling you this. Write it down, Ty. This play at second base is going to cost someone a playoff win or a World Series. Watch. It's going to happen.
You agree? Do you agree, Matt?
I was chomping at the bit to respond. I just want to make sure I didn't talk out of turn. I think Tommy's exactly right. I think the umpires know that at times it doesn't matter what they call because they can go to the review. I also think it's kind of sketchy that everything goes to New York City. And, you know, not to call out New York, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people like that Las Vegas thing in New York, and money changes hands a lot, and it's just suspicious to me that they call New York to get the verdict on any play in MLB that's reviewed.
Okay, anything else before we get away from this situation and start to shut down the kitchen here at the brunch?
No, not that I can think of.
Okay, well, this was great. We actually got Matt back in the building. And great support, too. Like, I loved it. I loved every last bit of it, man. I wanted to kind of tickle with him, just me and him, because, you know, the Twins and the Braves are sitting at the bottom of the league. So I get to do that and a little fun. Get to talk to him about a lot of situations that happened in Atlanta with the Falcons and the Browns. But we got time. We are approaching the month of August also where these things start to thicken up. But definitely thanks for coming through here, Matt. I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Ty. You know, it's been a long time. I've missed tuning in and stuff. I've just been working a lot in Atlanta. I work two jobs now. I appreciate you having me on. I did want to give a shout-out. As you know, I do rep Cleveland. I'm just glad that they finally got the drought over with since 1964. Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James took care of business. So, you know, I was almost 6 feet under because I thought Cleveland was going to lose and then they suspended Draymond Green and all of a sudden LeBron's holding the dang thing after blocking that shot. So congratulations, Cleveland Cavaliers.
No doubt. Well, we still are here. We still putting those dishes together and football is slowly approaching, man. Get on with the summer, man. Everybody loves the summer. I'm a fall guy, man. Let the trees turn colors out here. I don't like all this humidity, all this heat. 90 degree, 100 degree. No, I don't. No, I don't do well. Give me 60s, 70s. I'm golden. I could do as low as 40. Hell, I could do low as 40. Once it gets to the 30s, 20s, 10s, no, I'm good. But I can do the, you know, I can do that cool. I can do that cool sleeve weather. Okay, Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
Good show. Can't wait for football season to get started up so we can hopefully get more people in. Thanks for coming in, Matt. This network, the NFL network, needs to start combined because right now people that's got this network, like myself, do not have the NFL network. I need my NFL talk to get ready, first off, because I hate watching this shit on ESPN with these idiots they've got on air now. So you two need to come together and start coming up with something, because if I miss football games because of this shit, for money situation, because the NFL wants this money and this, that, I'm going to be really, really pissed off, and Todd's going to hear it. So let's get this together and get the people for this network, the NFL.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to deal with this. If Tommy will come for me, even when we outside the doggone kitchen, and he's been threatening me, Sports City. He's been threatening me, man. Like y'all got to see what I go through, man. I go through a lot with this dude, man, but I love him, though. I love him. But on a lighter note, shout-out to my boy that I loved ever since he came into the game, Torrey Hunter. He just got inducted into the Twins Hall of Fame. And in his speech before the game yesterday up against Cleveland, he spoke about the shootings and the police brutality and things of that nature out there in Minnesota with the death of the individual out there as well. Sports City, I say that and to say this, that today, and I thought it was a joking or a lightly taken matter, that in the chat room, we have somebody in the chat room that had said that there was a shooting in Baton Rouge, no less, where three cops got shot. I'm not certain on the severity, and yes, now being confirmed that four of them have been killed. So this is an ongoing situation. Sports City, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is a frightening situation. One of my friends came to me and told me, Ty, what if it's you in the situation being a black male and get caught up shot? Made me look at the thing totally different because I put myself in the shoes of these individuals. People, please slow down. Calm down. Like let God call this out, man. Enough. I don't want to even be the preacher because I'm not the preacher, but like life is short. Life is beautiful. Like, let people live, man. You guys are out here killing cops. You guys are out here killing cops. Now, I really don't have too much more to say about it. Matt even knew about it, too. This is scary. This is sad. Like, it's frightening. Thinking about, like, late night trying to go to a store or restaurant, you don't know what could freaking happen. You don't know what
could
freaking
happen. Look
what happened
in France.
Perfect scenario. This dude is running dudes over. He killed 70, 80 people?
He killed 80 people with the truck. I mean, this is out of control, and I don't want to get too preachy and political because we could do it all the way to like 1:30 and the baseball games are starting, but we should save it for maybe another show and go into it because it's
cookout.
I don't know what's
cookout.
Going on in this country. I don't know what's going on in this world.
Well, there's a certain white organization that came out and said that a bunch of stuff too. I'm not getting into it because I don't, but this is going to get very this country's going to get very,
well, Tommy,
very ugly.
Tommy, this world is not white and black. That's what the media wants.
Oh.
They want to divide us.
Yes,
oh, trust me. Ty knows how I am.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not saying you are one way
trust
or another.
Me.
But when you,
I know this.
Well, that's all the media. The media is playing off everybody's emotions. They've had marches in Atlanta. Now that the cops died, they probably won't march because they don't march for blue lives.
I don't even like that Black Lives Matter, the Oral Lives Matter, the Blue Lives Matter. Like, people, we are people. Look, at the end of the day, when you look at these cops, they work for what, 8, 9, 10 hours a day? They go back to the precinct or the office. They take that uniform off. They go home to a family. Or they go home and have a family that loves and supports them, man. Y'all got to understand that everybody is a person. They are people. Somebody loves them at the end of the day, man. Like no matter how this race situation is going down, man, look, I'm doing a show right now with two Caucasian men. Considerably, I think, call me brother. I fight with Matt. Y'all know that. Y'all heard Matt for the past couple of years. I fight with him just like a fucking brother. Y'all hear him on air
great,
going at
man.
Me.
At the same
me and
time,
Tommy fight. Me and Tommy fight. Hold on. Me and Tommy fight. Off air, on air. But I know I call him brother. Y'all got to stop, man. Y'all got to stop. This enough is enough. Think about this. 9 cops dead in what, a 2-week span? 9 cops?
Yep. More than that. Some of them don't get as
well,
much attention.
Well, I'm talking about that in a mass setting, I guess. If you might be right, and it might be more than that, like, because it's the stuff that's not noted that I'm probably missing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But the 5 in Dallas in one setting, 4 in an ambush. I'm reading more into it. It is an ambush situation. You got damn near 10 cops killed in a 2-week span. You think they're going to question when they pull somebody over, like pull out your license and registration? They will probably have guns drawn, and then nobody's going to feel safe any longer.
This ultimately, guys, this is the worst-case scenario. Martial law will take place. That's what's going on in Turkey.
Yep.
This is the absolute worst nightmare scenario that I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, whatever you believe, whatever your political belief is. It does not matter if martial law takes place. That's all out the window. And basically what would happen is they can come to our homes, try to take our guns, and basically we would be under civil unrest, and whoever is in the White House would be a dictator. And this is a nightmare situation for America. This is ultimately what the media is trying to do, is to get us to start a race war. So I just hope whoever watches the mainstream media to ignore it and get some other sources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I could look at it, because I could see they're trying to do that. But look, I feel good having Sports City. That's what I feel, because I feel like, one, I hate to say it like this, but I feel like sports brings us all together. I hate to say it like this, but I really feel like sports brings us all together. And no matter how these sports scenarios go down, I can get a text or call from Tommy, and Tommy will let me have it. Whether he's talking about the Lions, whether he's talking about the Thunder, whether he's talking about the Twins, or Matt will do it too, even though I don't want to answer the phone for Matt. But Matt will do it too. You feel me? He laughs.
Hey, the Twins don't look bad.
Stop it.
The Twins are
70% last 10 games. I don't need to hear this. I don't need to hear this part of the story. I'm trying to talk seriously, okay? Can I talk seriously?
I'm talking seriously.
Leave them out of this, okay? Leave them out of this. I was talking about you, okay? Leave them out of it. See? Supposedly, I'm about to get into an argument with them, and I'm trying to be serious. Both of them. Look at the way things go down, and I'll be in an argument. They always argue with me. Why don't they come for me? You know what? Instead of Blue Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, Timeless is Life Matters, okay? I'm doing that one. How about that? I'll do that. Because the two of them don't care, but they're up there smiling. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to enjoy one another, have fun, enjoy life, man. Let God call these situations, man. Not people down here setting cops up, getting cops riled up, cops shooting people, feeling uneasy because they don't know what's going on. Putting down, I just seen a situation. They had a African-American activist that spoke against police brutality, police shootings. They put him in scenarios and cop training on how these cops need to be prepared. After he went through the course, he said he don't blame cops. And I've seen him go through the course and everything. Because on 4 different instances, he tried to be calm and mild-mannered about it. He ended up shot if he didn't take care of the situation, the proper situation. to not knowing how these people think, because everybody has a different mind. Just like Matt said, we could be here preaching like crazy. I'm going to save it for the cookout, even though tomorrow we will be back here with the Monday Night Sports Wrap-Up. Come in here and get a dish sports. I feel like the swagger is coming back. The month of July is ending. I already could see the end of the summer already. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back. Rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.